Jenna, is there any place better than Target?
No. So let's talk about Target Circle. It's the same program you know and love now with automatic deals.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
So now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, with the unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Not me, that is for sure. So get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. I just used the coconut oil and vitamin E shower cream, and I seriously forgot I was in my own bathroom. It smelled like a spa. Plus, it's allergen-free, so it's gentle for your skin, and it worked in as little as 3 minutes, so no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasted days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me-time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And that's what you really missed with Jenna.
And Kevin. An iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to And That's What You Really Missed podcast. The penultimate episode of season 3. Are you kidding? We're already here.
We've said it now for the past 3 weeks, but it's true. It feels very weird. And I also have to say, in terms of what it was like in real life filming this, there's something about the very end of this season that feels like it was so far away.
Oh.
Also, like, it feels like it exists in no man's land in my mind. Because obviously 1 and 2 are very fresh in our mind somehow, just are just ingrained.
Right.
And then as we've been watching season 3, a lot of season 3 has actually been, once I've seen it, it's like, oh yes, I do remember this.
Yeah.
Where these last 2 episodes live in my head, and maybe because it was at the end of a season. And so as we get to the end of seasons, it feels like last day of school.
Senioritis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're checked out mentally. And so I don't remember like where in time these numbers fit. Because obviously we remember competitions, we remember certain numbers, and that's how we relate a lot of episodes to like storyline.
I have very specific memories of shooting this, and I have no memory at all of shooting some of this.
And I remember, yeah, same thing, specific memories of shooting this, but didn't realize they were all in the same episode.
Yeah.
In my head, like the memories of doing Dashboard or doing the fight scene where I'm eating the popcorn or the scene where we're all getting ready for nationals. Like all those things live in my memory, but did not realize this is where.
They also don't live in my memory with Eric Stoltz for some reason.
Same. And then watching it, I was like, Eric must have directed this.
Yes.
It feels so Eric.
He also doesn't usually do competition episodes.
No. And I do remember that though. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, are you okay, Eric?
He's always okay.
Yeah, of course he is. But this was he's been training, I feel like, doing proms for years. And this was a juggernaut.
Truly. There's a lot that happens. Luckily, it's all centered around nationals, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
There's not like 1,000 different things happening going in 15 different directions. We're all roads are pointing to Nationals.
And it feels very cohesive in that way, where you get that nostalgic feeling in every single scene of graduation.
Is so good. I also felt very emotional, and I remember the feeling of like, we didn't know what was coming in season 4. We didn't know what it was going to be like. We didn't know if we were going to get new cast members. We didn't know any of this. So the feeling was, this is the end in some ways. This is the end of an era. What happens next? Where do we go from here? So I do remember that, the feelings more than the memories, what I was feeling at the time. This definitely jogged my memory. I agree with you. This is not sequential for me at all. But I do remember a lot of it.
And this is one of those moments where you and I were so excited to get to season 3 and beyond, because we don't have a lot of off-the-cuff memories.
Right.
Before it's jogged by watching the episode. And this, I feel like, was the culmination of that so far.
Yes.
I felt so removed from it in like a great way, where I could enjoy it as a viewer.
Yes.
And you texted me while you were watching it, and then that made me want to watch it. And
so good.
So good.
Okay, let's talk about it. So this is season 3, episode 21. This is Nationals, and this aired on May 15th, 2012. And this is a penultimate episode of season 3. And the number one song was Somebody That I Used to Know by Gautier. Again, and Avengers is still number one. I expect it to be on our number one roster for quite a bit of time to come.
So Glee News of the Week, this is a big one. And I love that this all lined up perfectly. Nationals features Glee's 400th musical performance.
How is that even possible that we got that
far? Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Yeah.
Which just feels right. That feels like a time to celebrate. And we were. We were doing a competition.
Yes.
Which really felt like a celebration. It felt like we were on tour doing a real performance.
Oh my God. Thank God we didn't do that number on tour.
I know. Psycho. So this episode was directed by Eric Stoltz, written by Ali Adler.
Yes.
Whoopi's back. Groff is back. We have Rexley icon. Lindsay Lohan and Perez Hilton. Lindsay Lohan is also an icon. Perez Hilton, whatever.
He's an icon in his own right, I guess.
I guess. You know, Perez Hilton was awful to a lot of people.
Okay. Let's name it.
He just was, and got famous off of that, and then got upset that people didn't like him. And it's like, you established an entire brand off of being the bad guy.
Right. And then you have to like own that. You just have to own it then.
Yeah. I remember he showed up to the tour, the first tour we did, and we all avoided him.
Well, because he came backstage. Thought he was going to write about us.
We were like, also it's like, you don't deserve. Like that, that was very much in the throes, and it was nice that Lindsay Lohan's character was calling that out a bit.
It's also, I thought those scenes were very funny.
You know, I have to say, Lindsay Lohan is a national treasure.
Mother is making her comeback, and I'm here for it.
Yes, and she went through a really hard time, and she grew up in the public eye, and was dealing with a disease. And doing that in the public eye, I feel like only magnifies that struggle.
A million times.
And the press is not kind about that. And they don't make it easy for people to live. And I just think she's so talented. And I'm so happy that she's like back on it and back out there and showing up and doing a cameo. And just, she's even great.
That's what we said. I think we always said that, like, it's so unfortunate the journey she was going through and the challenges she was having, because she's wildly talented. That was like the disappointing part of it. And also as a human, I have my own qualms with Lindsay Lohan, but
Yes.
I'm so glad she is thriving.
Right.
And she was really great on set. And we didn't really know what to expect, especially Eric, who had to kind of lead this ship. And like, you know, you're dealing with Perez, who's not an actor, Lindsay, who's kind of on this journey. And then, and you just don't know what you're going to get. And he said she came prepared. He said she, maybe not quite on time, but prepared. And so like, she knew her lines, at least.
I felt really bad for Rex.
Rex,
the consummate professional.
Kind as anything.
Oh my God. And he was just sort of like, what's going on?
I love him. I love him. He's very funny.
And thank God he was there. He was really the anchor in that.
Oh, totally. Totally. And then just like the writing on it and Lindsay willing to like talk about herself in that way. Mm-hmm. And everybody just kind of self-aware. I appreciated
yes, that. Yes, everyone being game for that is really fun.
Yeah. Okay, so before we get too deep into it, there are a lot of songs. I also forgot that the Edge of Glory was a Trouble Tones number.
Jenna, you did it.
I made the Trouble Tones.
How did dreams I not do come true, Ungu.
Even remember that? I was like, I made the Trouble Tones.
And Mercedes wouldn't let you get out of it, which I was like, finally. It's like, you are not backing away from this. And having like, being able to like talk to you every week about these things and talking about how desperately you wanted to be in Trouble Tones and then see you get there as a friend, even though we already filmed it and we all forgot about it. It's like, yes, she did it.
My jaw was on the floor because we've been talking about this for so long. I was like, I wish I was in the Trouble Tones. Tina, you were. You were.
One time.
Anyway, she made it though. I take it. So we did Edge of Glory. It's All Coming Back to Me Now, Paradise by the Dashboard Light, Starships, Pinball Wizard, Tongue Tied, We Are the Champions, and the unreleased and very short version of Starlight Express on roller skates.
By the Portland Scale Blazers.
Bless them.
I love the team names.
It's funny that you don't, I get it for TV. But like that you don't encounter the same groups often, except for Vocal Adrenaline, our main enemy. We don't encounter any of these groups again. Okay. So this episode we talked about last week was the episode that aired right after Prop. So they were concurrent. Right?
Can you imagine? That must have been so much fun to watch.
Two episodes in one, and they were both really fun episodes.
And they directly feed into each other, which didn't always happen in
That's right.
And that was like, I feel like these last three or four episodes are all one big story, which is so nice.
That's right.
This is the second competition to feature real celebrities as judges. The first time was in Journey.
That's right. Two versions of the victory scene were filmed. Vocal Adrenaline's win and our win. Vocal Adrenaline didn't get confetti because of the cleanup. But we did shoot both, as in they do in like Drag Race, where shoot because there was a live audience. There were so many extras. Brad Falchuk probably had PTSD from the prom king queen being leaked. And I do remember that.
Yep, I remember that as well. And also, I believe I remember it so specifically. The Vocal Adrenaline, quote unquote, win was very, the filming of it was very half-assed.
Totally.
Like, they weren't actually using film. They were, Andrew just sort of like roaming around with the Steadicam, and we were doing all the action.
But we really didn't do it.
Yeah.
We did sort it, it was performative.
Yeah. I mean, Drag Race really does it. They do the full win for all the finalists.
Even for our version, the celebrity version, it was like they did it and we didn't know. And in Drag Race, we didn't know. Obviously, we knew in the script.
Even during the airing of the finale, I was texting with the finalists and they didn't even know as it was happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
As it was airing. So, Vocal Adrenaline sings more than one song in an episode for the first time, which I loved. I'm like, are they going to go into another song? Because I really want that. If we do three songs, I want to see the other team do three songs.
So, agreed. And I also was wondering, Unique was singing it.
So last year, we got chopped. Like they acted like Nationals
went on For like multiple like, a couple rounds. Competitions, yes.
And there was no chopping this one. It was just...
We win.
Yeah.
I mean, but honestly, whatever. I'm kind of glad for it. For our sanity. This is the first time New Directions performs first in a competition, which is the death spot.
I liked that.
I was here for it, too.
Yeah, added that great. Little extra drama, because you all know, it's like, tails all this time. You never want to go first.
Never want to go
People first. Forget. The yearbook that Rachel signed was available in published form to purchase. It was called Glee, the official William McKinley High School yearbook.
Mm.
Who has it out there?
Oh, I'm sure we got one.
Yeah, probably.
We had our own yearbook with our crew and everything, which I really liked at the very end of the show. So this is the only Nationals episode where the title doesn't refer to the city where the competition is held. This is also the only Nationals episode where New Directions doesn't sing a song related to the city. Obviously, like in New York, New York, we sang I Love New York. And then in Los Angeles, when we do that, they sing I Love LA. There's no Chicago song. Fun fact, though, our very good friend Will Malnati, whose family is the Malnati's in Chicago Deep Dish Pizza.
Pizza Empire.
We did get their box placed in the episode.
Did you have anything to do with that?
It was Diana, actually, who did that.
Amazing.
It was Diana, very smart. And so that was our little ode to Chicago. And we also weren't in Chicago. So that was also a part of it. So in props, we see New Directions set list. And Quinn and Tina were already in Edge of Glory. Whoopsies.
Mm-hmm.
But here's why. Our props people are very busy handling the props for every episode. And you get a list of the characters in each number, probably. Or you look and you see which characters are in it. Maybe they weren't fully reading the script to understand that this was not happening until next week.
Right.
That's my guess.
Yeah. And they were so meticulous and detailed. Like,
oh, yeah.
They barely have any slip ups. So,
yes.
Fair. Like, look at all the props, all the students have in every single scene. Mm-hmm. All of that is like three people mm-hmm. in the props department.
Mm-hmm.
It was really insane.
Mm-hmm.
And they cared. Like, they would run in and adjust things at the very last minute.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
they had a lot of things to handle.
Yes, they really
literally did. From like a pen, a notebook, an eraser,
yeah.
a backpack, mm-hmm. everybody's backpacks.
And
it's
a lot
crazy.
Of times, I think that department too, because there's so much going on, was like not undervalued, but I don't think people realize the amount of work that goes into
unsung heroes.
Unsung
you will.
Heroes. Mm-hmm. And just when something is always good and at a certain level, it's easy to take for granted because you don't have to worry about it.
Right.
And that's how they were. They were always just so good. It was like
totally.
The art department.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like
exactly.
you just didn't ever have to worry about that. That was never a thing.
Which means they're good at their job.
Exactly. Jenna, the weather is finally getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees.
Yes, it is, and I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, and luckily I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices in premium fabrics and finishes. We love that.
I just got the silk skirt, and then I also got the 100% organic cotton striped sweater. It's great quality for that price. I literally shop here all the time now because it is just undeniable.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/really for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/really to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/really. Let's talk about something we can all relate to. hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of her day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
When the Teacher of the Year award is being announced, Mr. Schuster appears to have lipstick smudged on his cheek. I noticed that. After the award is announced, and while hugging each Glee member, Quinn, wearing red lipstick, kisses him on the cheek. This would mean the scenes were filmed out of order. Is this true? Very possibly. Sometimes we would just do things block shooting. So if we were just shooting all in one direction towards the stage, let's say you the need teacher, a lot of us.
Right.
And so if they were trying to get us out, so let's say it was the last scene of the day and they needed us to film the next day to shoot out, you know, the 12 members of the Glee Club would save everybody on the turnaround, the 12 hours that we have to have from the time we wrap to when we can be back on set again. And so it's very likely that that did happen, where they shot everybody that was on the stage portion first.
And then they turn the cameras around and then they shoot Mr. Shu's stuff on, and including the teacher announcement.
Yes.
So including his speech and everything would be earlier because the cameras would be the other way around. It's possible. I don't actually remember if we did that, but Eric was very good at block shooting and he was very efficient. And so I believe that that probably happened. I think you're right, Kevin. When the new directions arrive back at McKinley, Emma shows Will a newspaper with a picture of Will holding the Nationals trophy in the choir room on the front page. However, considering the new directions hadn't been back to school yet, how is this possible? Plus, Will is wearing the same outfit in the photo as he is in the scene. Whoopsies. That's funny. I did go back and look at the newspaper again after reading this fun fact and was like, oh yeah, he is in the same outfit. They took it on the day. They printed it. They gave it to Emma. You know, it's a quick turnaround for these things.
Yeah. It's not all going to be perfect. This is insane to me. You remember how last time the like Fox publicity summary of the episode was like a sentence? Was a sentence and didn't really explain anything?
Yes.
Are you ready for this one?
I'm ready.
When Mercedes, like Nationals, everyone, right? Like this is what everyone's been talking about for 3 years. Here is the official Fox summary of the episode. Entitled Nationals. When Mercedes comes down with a bad case of food poisoning, Will drafts Tina and Quinn to sub for her. That's it.
Somebody got really lazy that week. They were really busy and they decided that was it.
What?
Or they pressed, they selected all and deleted by accident.
I don't. It was like it had to be long enough, short enough to fit in the original tweet size.
So funny. So funny. Okay.
I mean, talk about bearing the lead here.
I mean, Mercedes has food poisoning. The scene is ridiculous in the hotel room. Partially because of the nicknames that Sue calls Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
Insane. And all the girls are there. Some of the girls are there taking care of Mercedes. And we get assigned, Tina and Quinn get assigned to do the Trouble Twins because we are not sure if Mercedes is going to be able to perform at Nationals. Really kind of, I don't remember that scene. I don't remember doing that scene at all. Obviously, because I didn't remember that I was in the Trouble Twins.
Well, here's what I was thinking. And as I was watching this entire episode, Stoltz moves very quickly.
Yes.
So I think we remember all of these scenes in these competition episodes because there's a lot of us in new environments and they take a really long time to shoot. Stoltz does not do that.
You just, you go.
You're moving. And I think that's what was happening.
You're so
because
right.
Because even, we didn't even film Dashboard that many times.
You're totally right.
And so I think he was just, we have about 2 hours worth of content to fit in an hour. So let's keep it moving.
And he was always like that with a big episode or not, you know, yeah. He would make a small episode feel like a big episode and he'd make a big episode feel like it was like a normal Glee episode.
And shout out to Stoltz because I had nothing to do in this episode and he still cut to me
so many times
and made me feel like I was still part of the episode. And I really appreciated that.
He always did that. He always made everybody feel included, especially your popcorn moment, which leads me to the rehearsal in that lobby room, wherever the hell we were.
Note to young actors, if you're going to choose to eat something in the first take of a scene,
you screwed yourself.
You have to do it the entirety of the shoot.
How much popcorn did you eat?
I had so much popcorn, Jenna, and it was at Chicago. It was like sweet.
Oh, the cheddar and the cheesy caramel. I love that stuff.
And I was just going in on it. And when Naya comes around, we fucked up so many takes because Naya would get to my face and I was trying to make her laugh and she was trying to make me laugh.
I could
tell. I think at some point Stoltz was like, okay, guys, like get it together.
He never did that either.
No, it was, we couldn't. And I've said it before, we couldn't look at each other in scenes. And we're barely, like she's so not looking at me in the take that made it in. And I'm barely hanging on. If you see
sometimes
my eyes.
Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you just have to look away and make it look like you're looking at them. You were barely, the both of you. Whenever you guys have lines together, you can always kind of tell you're on the verge.
I love that though. It was so much fun. It was chaos. It actually was chaos filming that.
Because there was a lot of Steadicam as well. There was a lot of movement everywhere. It felt like the one where they stole our set list.
Yes. But that's also how you save time. If you keep everything on Steadicam, everything's lit in every direction.
Right.
You can just keep it moving.
Shooting. Right.
Yes. Because otherwise, what you have to do to get technical about it is you set down tracks or you set down, like, then you have to get up all that gear and move it to another and cover whoever is facing that specific direction. So when we're all sort of in a circle in this, you have to cover that from that many angles.
Right.
Which is damn near impossible. Right. If you have a steady cam, you can see the entire room because you can just walk around with the camera.
And they light the whole thing all at once versus in each setup that they do in the scenes, basically they have to relight it for that part of the room.
It's like a David O. Russell movie. If you watch any of David O. Russell's movies, all of that thing is Steadicam. He's got about a billion people in every scene, and it just saves so much time.
It's so true. Okay, so a fight breaks out because Puck is studying for geography. People are mad at him, which is crazy for studying. Rachel has her own agenda, obviously needing everybody to be perfect because Carmen Thibodeau might be there, and Quinn is still questionable on her feet. So we are having this wild argument, and then Mercedes comes in and she's magically better already. Very fast.
Very fast.
Thankfully, though. Thankfully, she comes back.
I love those shots of everybody getting ready for the competition in front of all the lights. And then when she comes in and sort of saves the day. And for once, the things Sue had a student do made sense. Like all the recommendations she had for like how she should get better quickly. Like, oh, that's pretty reasonable.
Mm. Sue is really scary this episode because it was so unlike her.
Yeah. But it was nice because you never get to see into, well, we did once when Sue, we never see into the Cheerios competitions.
Right.
Except when she was trying to get Brittany to fly out of that cannon which is obviously unsafe.
Right.
But if she is a billion time national champ,
right,
then she should have these things, these bits of knowledge, right?
That is true. That is true.
So it was nice to see her, it felt in character for her to know how to do these things, which I really appreciated.
Yeah, I appreciated Sue this whole episode, I have to be honest.
I loved at the end, I know we're skipping ahead here, but when they're walking to the Teacher of the Year celebration and she says, I've been pregnant for an indeterminate amount of months or an indeterminate amount of time. Love that. Sue is on it.
She is on it.
So another thing that was happening this episode for Rachel is the Carmen Thibodeau of it all, the Whoopi of it all.
Right.
And
she back.
She's hoping Whoopi's going to show up. She doesn't know if Whoopi's going to show up. She runs into Jesse and Jesse somehow magically knows that she bombed her audition and that she's hoping she's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that exchange between them. Felt very mature. Very
Everybody
adult.
Felt very mature in this episode.
Yes. And then the Finn and Jesse interaction too is like, ooh.
I know. I the honestly.
Tension. That was some good tension.
It felt, yeah, it was really nice to see Jesse show a little bit of love and truth and kind of take his walls down. I even liked, I don't know if that was the one you're referring to or Rachel and Jesse, but I really liked their scene as well together.
Exactly.
Yeah, everybody was very adult and mature in this
and
episode.
I would just like to say John Groff looked extra hot.
I don't know why,
but
he looked like he had a tan, like he went away.
Yeah.
Did he have a tan?
I don't know.
Mm, he looked really good.
So Thibodeau does show up just in time to see Rachel sing, belt out Celine.
So fun fact, Rachel and Leah, actually, if my memory is correct, we both were asking for Celine songs for like a long time because we both love Celine and we both got them. Leah, I believe, was asking for Power of Love and Ryan got it wrong.
Oh, he swapped them.
And swapped it and did It's All Coming Back to Me. Whether he got it wrong or he intentionally did It's Coming Back to Me because he liked it better, I don't know. But I remember Leah being like, I actually had asked for the other one.
I do remember that.
I mean, she sounded great, so it's fine. Yeah. It was awesome. She sounded insane. And Carmen Thibodeau sees her and sees the standing ovation she gets and is definitely moved. I mean, we'll see. But she's moved.
And I was moved as a viewer because it's like Rachel Berry is at her best
doing
on
what she,
stage.
Yes, exactly.
And to see her with her people, that even though sometimes she treats questionably, that's her safe space.
Yes.
And
where she's thriving.
Yes. And she's able to shine with that support. Like she got out there alone for that audition and choked.
Right.
And then you have her with her family. And she kills it. And
I also
Carmen,
don't remember being on stage.
we were not. I think because our involvement in it was so little.
Mm-hmm.
There's paparazzi pictures of us at base camp, like doing like foot races and on.
Oh, that
scooters.
Was the one.
Yeah, because we had so much downtime.
That's what happens to Derek Stoltz.
Yeah, we were not on that stage very long. Mm. And so my memory of it.
You're right.
It's sort of non-existent because of that. Like we shot it so quickly.
Well, we also that day waited quite a bit of time because some people were late.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of downtime also.
There sure was.
Because we were just waiting. And
waiting for a very long time. I think they had to swap the schedule.
Right. Which is never a good thing for nationals because everything has to kind of go according to plan or you're fucked.
Yeah. So I imagine they moved up Unique and Vocal Adrenaline to shoot maybe earlier than they were supposed to.
Right. Well, speaking of Unique.
Wait, before Unique, You texted me and said you thought something sounded off about or something weird with Leah's vocals.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a line that is like fully ahead of the beat, which never happens. And this is speculation, but I do remember this starting to happen around this time where if we did not have enough time to go record the song,
you do it with the demo.
We do it with the demo. And I'm wondering if that's what happened here, where she had a lip sync to the demo. And so then she had to then go back and match what she was lip syncing, how she was lip syncing to another person singing.
Mm.
And so therefore the timing could have been off.
Mm. Interesting.
I don't know
I don't remember that happening at that point, but maybe you're right.
But the music didn't happen often. It just happened every once in a while. And it was usually towards the end of a season because that's when
we were so behind. Yeah. Right. Okay. Good point. So Unique is the lead of Vocal Adrenaline at this time. But Unique is now freaking out because Kurt and Mercedes, after their performance, go to wish Unique good luck. They go to give him a flower. And Unique is saying, I'm not going to go do it. And this is where we start to plant the seed that Unique is going to join New Directions because Unique is not feeling the love from Vocal Adrenaline. He's feeling a lot of pressure. And Kurt and Mercedes are just showing him how things are done at McKinley. Unique's performances were amazing. Alex literally is insane. The split is something that we have to talk about.
Split lift.
But also, I mean, the whole thing is in heels, singing
walking
like that.
Walking across pinball machines in heels.
Exactly. Moving pinball machines and then starships. Now, I thought that was amazing. I didn't think it was as good as New Direction. And I don't know if that was the editing because like they were not supposed to be as good as New Direction or they're their own thing. But maybe it was also the song choice because I don't love starships. Like
I think the song choices were weird.
Pinball Wizard was good, but
they were a little off. And then also I think, I mean, they've always been a team that just has like one star and they build everything around that.
Right.
And so I think sometimes that works better than other times. Like Bohemian Rhapsody was obviously like,
oh my God,
perfect.
Literally perfect.
And it did feel like it didn't work as well. Like, I just want to see Unique.
Yeah. Well, that's also what it was. Like I think team. It was the shooting of it. Like the shots of it were very much on Unique the whole time, which they should be. But I know that Zach and Brooke, they choreograph for the bigger picture for Vocal Adrenaline.
Yes.
And we didn't see that as much. It was much more closer, tighter shots. And like the timing of a lot of things, even in New Direction stuff, some of these cannons didn't quite hit like right. of us moving because they were on close-ups of people versus the right. wide shot.
However, they did get that crazy move of Vocal Adrenaline where they were launching those girls.
Oh my
flying
God.
Flying through the air and being caught, and all of everybody's reactions were so good and real because that was insane. Like Zach and Brooke somehow every year managed to think of some crazier, bigger move.
Yes.
Than the year before. And I don't know how they do it.
Psychos. They're
full psycho. But I mean, just watching Alex Newell perform is just, thank God we got two songs.
Well, we had to. I mean,
I want to watch Alex perform anything, everything.
Anything.
I also really loved Kurt and Mercedes when they were talking to me before. Kurt says, you know, maybe because Unique or Wade is concerned that they can't conjure the strength. And when Kurt is like, maybe Unique can carry that for
mm-hmm,
you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was just really beautiful. And I like that they're passing down, like they've had to go through the hard times mm-hmm. and find their people that support them. And now they're passing it on.
Well, exactly. It was very reminiscent of Kurt, like, mm-hmm. and Chris even taking on the pressure of being this massive gay icon on a massive show.
Yes.
And like everyone they were saying that, Unique was saying that, I was hearing like, oh,
yep.
Chris.
Exactly. When you like know? I feel like, why do I have to be responsible, the poster child for all of this? Like, mm-hmm.
Totally.
It's exactly totally. It.
Yes,
it
was, exactly.
It was very well said. Very well written.
Very well. I love that scene. I love that scene.
And also, it turns out there's a MVP award at Nationals.
I guess so. But we didn't know. We wouldn't know because we've never been to a final at Nationals.
Mm-mm.
So I don't actually know why they did that. Was it to divert the like to prolong the win? Like because the MVP usually comes from the winning team. Did they then think like, is this going to prolong the audience's thinking that it's going to be Vocal Adrenaline, that New Directions is going to lose?
Yeah, I feel like it's that because then you do see the New Directions reaction and it looks very concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it's something to justify Vocal Adrenaline not winning because Alex is so good that to not have Alex's team or Unique's team win feels crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it sort of softens that. I think it makes it more realistic. Like, okay, the team doesn't win, but Unique was so good that we mm-hmm. have to award her in this way. And so then as a team effort, New Directions wins, which makes more sense to me.
Let's talk about something we can all relate to. Hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in exactly. to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. which is different than empathy, yeah. right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already yeah. see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we've got Vocal Adrenaline.
And through all of this, Thibodeau's been there, right? Has witnessed the whole scene.
Yes.
And on her way out, she gets stopped by Jesse St. James.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse St. James tells her, I heard what happened with Rachel Berry, and I just need you to know she's the most talented person I've ever met.
Not what I was going to expect from him.
No. And then I also thought Carmen Tippett would be like, no, did she put you up to this sort of reaction? And it was a really nice exchange. And also something I felt like that was really humbling for Jesse St. James. Because since the start of Glee, vocal adrenaline has been it. Mm-hmm. Nobody has been better or been able to beat vocal adrenaline, and Jesse's been the star.
Right.
And, but that's all still like small town Ohio stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then Thibodeau from the big city and the star then tells Jesse, like, oh, yes, I remember your audition for me. And like, it was okay.
Right, right, right.
And for her, then, whatever happens with Rachel Berry, and for him to say that to Rachel Berry, it all is leading to this realization of how destined and talented Rachel actually is.
Yeah.
Outside of, you know, where they're from and their circumstances. Yeah.
Well, also, kudos to the writers for redeeming Carmen Thibodeau somehow, because she is very tough and she's very harsh. And for her to remember his audition and the specifics of it was, I was like, okay, she is the real deal. Like, she's legit. She's not just being the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
It legitimizes she has stuff to back it up with.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Do you like that she's saying giants in the sky for his audition?
Love. And I also
I want to see him do that.
I do too. He'd be a lot of spit.
So much spit.
It'd be a lot of spit. Because that is the most you have to enunciate in the world. She is right about that. It is one of Sondheim's hardest pieces ever. Love it.
Did you have... You got your college degree in musical theater?
In theater performance, minor in musical theater, yes.
Going into that school or applying to that school, was there an audition process like this?
Oh, yeah. Every school has an audition process for the program. So you have to get into the school and the program.
So did you encounter any people that were reminiscent of Thibodeau?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The head of my theater, musical theater department, was very much like that. She was very tough and not well-liked by a lot of people.
So then...
This Carmen is real.
Being, okay, yeah. So her being this tough,
this is legit.
Feels real.
Oh, yeah. I was told I walk like a pigeon. I was told that there were a lot of things. And she's redeemed herself, and we're all good now. But I guess. But it is similar in a lot of ways. And then there's other harsher schools as well, like conservatories. But yes, this is true. This is truer than the nationals and the show choir competitions.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many rounds did you have to go through? Was it just one audition?
Yes, it was one audition I don't think I had to perform for my minor. Did I have to? I did have to do a monologue for my theater performance audition. And maybe I did have to sing to get into the minor. I had auditioned for quite a few schools.
Mm-hmm.
I think Juilliard has more rounds.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Obviously, I didn't make it past the first round of Juilliard.
You know, you did.
Rightfully so.
Jacob Artist.
Of course he did. That makes sense to
me. Didn't he turn down going to Juilliard to do Glee?
He did, for dance.
For dance.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, he did. I think to move to LA. I don't know if it was specifically for Glee, but... Oh my God. Okay, I can't wait to have Jacob Artist on the show.
I am just very... I'm proud of you.
Oh my God, thank you.
You did all that. That seems very intimidating.
It's very stressful and very intimidating and very scary, and you just want to give up sometimes, but like Rachel Berry, you're going to New York hell or high water.
I mean, you were Rachel Berry.
Yeah, I was. And it was really intense. And I didn't even do half the auditions that like some of these kids did in these conservatories and things that are so hardcore. I mean, so every semester, some of these conservatories have, I don't know if it's like this anymore, but they have juries where you go in front of the whole board of like teachers and they can kick you out of the school at any point or out of the program at any point.
Was there any sense of animosity? Because you had already been on Broadway. Like, was there any sort of like, oh, just because you've done it and you think you're good, are we going to put extra pressure on you?
Exactly.
To prove that you ain't shit, basically?
Yes, exactly. Like, you got to prove yourself. I felt a lot of pressure to prove myself that I could do this because I hadn't been in Spring Awakening or Waitress Yet or done any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of kids stuff.
Right.
So it was like, could I prove that I was actually worthy of being in this industry as not just a kid, but an adult artist? Mm-hmm. And so that was like, I put major pressure on myself to do that. And so that was really hard. And then like wanting to audition while I, cause I had an agent all throughout college. A lot of college programs, you do the senior showcase to then get an agent and manager and get representation. I already had it. And so a lot of schools don't want you to audition outside because number one, they don't feel like you're ready. And number two, you're representing the school. So like when you come out, they want you to be ready and represent what they've taught you. And so they really don't, support people who have agents who are working. And then also if you're working, there's a lot of performance-based classes where you have to show up and you can't just like read from the textbook and take the test and then, you know, like lecture hall style. And so there's a lot of drama that I went through in school because of that.
Well, despite all that, you got in and you graduated in 3 years with a major and a minor. So
I did. I did what Annalee Ashford did. So she's obviously, you know, who everybody knows who Annalee Ashford is at this point now. And I literally saw I had the same TA. I said, give me her courses. Give me everything that she did and get me out at the same time. And they did.
Were you in the same year?
She was a year ahead of me, or like 2 years ahead of me. And so I saw her do it and I was like, I need to do that. She's the only one I would see at auditions, like equity auditions in the mornings before class. Also,
you would go to auditions in the morning before class?
Yeah, because EPAs, you have to go really early to sign up to get on the list to like make it before their day ends. She'd have her little rolly suitcase and you just like sing your best 16 bars and hope that they see something in you. If you don't have an agent, right?
Yeah.
And I also went anyway, because even if my agent didn't get that audition, I would go.
This makes so much sense
because
I feel like if you have been through that, you're just cut from a different cloth. Like your wherewithal to withstand different situations, it's just so much higher than the rest of us. And I think because like you've done it, where like you've grinded, you've hustled, you know exactly what it's like, and coming from working as a kid. To then going through that and then coming out of it and working as an adult, it's not like you've ever coasted.
Right.
And you've fought for all of it and you went to school.
And then like Glee also felt like normal almost to me. Like the hustle felt normal to me.
Yes.
It didn't feel, if it was hard, but it didn't feel out of the ordinary until like now when you look back, you're like, none of that is normal.
What was out of the ordinary was the facing, the public interfacing of it all.
Right.
Like you hadn't really experienced that yet.
Yes, exactly. That was a very different experience. It was a very...
Because if it was just the work and it was the 16-hour days and whatever,
right.
I think it probably would have had very little effect on most of us. But I think but I think especially like you or like Matt or Leah who come from that world. Theater is hard. And if you can do theater, you can do anything. So I feel like the fame of it all is what makes people funny.
Oh, totally.
Because it's another mental constraint that there's no training for.
Right. And then social media on top of it and like the acceptance of was already a thing as an artist. You're looking for external gratification.
Yes. You need the validation from elsewhere. Yeah.
Exactly. Already as an artist, that's partially what it is when you start out. And then you get all of this, like you're surrounded by yes people who tell you you're amazing and all of this. Mm-hmm. And then you're also brought down by all of these like criticisms and reading the comments and all of that. And that brings you down and you're like, is this real? This mm-hmm. isn't real. But then it still feels good when you get good validation. And so
right. There's
a lot of that that was, and then like, you know, working on the weekends and the press and all of that, which was like kind of comes with the job. It's like, it's a taxing time because you don't have time to sit down and like have a moment with your thoughts. You're just surrounded by it all the time. We were just working all the time.
That being said, though, I also feel like part of coming from theater is it's also really tough mentally, where like people are not kind, right? Like you're in constant competition with one another. You mm-hmm. also get reviews.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's so insulated from the rest of the world.
Yes.
It's a very small community. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's a very small community. You all know each other.
Totally.
But there is also, I feel like, as competitive and as vicious as a theater community can be, there's also this underlying support, because to do it is to care about it. And there. If you respect one another because you all care about it, you know what it takes to be there.
Yeah. It's cutthroat. It's not vicious. Yeah. It's cutthroat for sure. I think they're different, but
you're right. You are.
I agree. I agree with you. I do agree with you. It is, but it is much more insular than the spread and the reach that we had on the show. So it's definitely. Anyway, well,
you did it.
We did do it.
That's why I always say, if you need something done, ask Jenna. Like
that's funny.
Nothing gets in your way. You can do everything. And I feel like. That's you go funny. Through all that at a young age and it carries over into other parts mm-hmm. of your life.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I didn't even think about it like that.
And also your voice is just better than ever. So she still got it.
Oh my God. That's so nice. You know, I don't agree with you, but
it's true. Mm-hmm. Look, if Amber says it, then you know it's true and she said it.
Okay.
Just take it.
I will.
Anyway, so New Directions, back on track.
Back on track.
New Directions wins.
Oh my God, we win. We really do win. It's pretty crazy. But we had to win. Like, we weren't going to not win at this point, right?
There was no way to not win.
I also feel like Brad saying, like, oh, you couldn't win the first time around. I kind of knew we were going to win the second time around. Like, inside our glee bubble, I kind of knew we were going to win, right?
Yeah, and I think maybe we knew. I think because we didn't win the second time, the first time, it was like, okay, well, then we have to, like, we are going to win the next time.
Yeah.
Because, like, who's going to stick around after watching for three seasons and these kids
this
never
is crap.
Win? Yeah. Like, it was just, you know.
Agreed.
Yeah. So.
Very exciting. I actually really love the scene where we're looking at the trophy and, like, taking it in. And I remember shooting that after the champagne. Which we'll talk about. I love that scene. I love that moment. It actually meant a lot.
All these celebrations felt really great. Even our interactions in the slow-mo of us getting the trophy on stage and all of us hugging each other. And it all felt really sweet.
There was also a celebratory thing because it was like, this was our last competition together, all together. Like, we were all going to perform together ever again.
Did you feel
that
while watching it?
Totally. I understand, as a viewer, the feeling that, mm-hmm. the emotion that they must have been feeling at that time of, this is the end of an era.
Because I have to say, Corey and Leah really carried that.
Woo!
Because, one, Corey sang his ass off.
He was so good.
Like, what? But, like, Corey's best asset, I think, is his acting,
mm-hmm.
is through all of those things,
mm-hmm.
where he's not just singing a song.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time through his performance, I was reminded, this is a kid who's never going to get to do this again. This is his last performance with his high school best friends before they all go off.
Yeah.
And it was so emotional.
It was really emotional. They did carry that.
It felt like they were present too, where it felt like the characters are present, taking it all in. Mm-hmm. Like, we know we're good at this. We know we can do this.
Mm-hmm. And we've been here before.
Yeah. And it felt joyous. Like, all the performances, like when you guys were doing Trouble Tone stuff, everyone was on that wavelength. And it just felt really impactful to watch and emotional.
Yeah. Agreed. The numbers were great. How do you feel about Edge of Glory? Because I don't think it was the best Trouble Tones number they've done by far. But I love that song.
I agree with you. It definitely wasn't my favorite Trouble Tones number. It also, I think because of how the dance was shot, it ended up looking sloppy.
Agreed. But it wasn't. Yes,
because I think things were timed in layers.
Yes,
on the risers.
That's exactly right.
And so if you're in too close, it just looks like people are messing up and going at different times.
Exactly. It was all cannons. The whole thing was cannons.
Yes. Is that what that's called? That's what a cannon is?
Yeah, like row, row, row your boat. Oh. Row, row. It's a cannon.
That's what you meant by cannon. I'm uneducated. What have we learned? You are educated. I am not.
You read books.
Yeah, but that's not the profession I'm in. So you're doing the wrong thing.
So funny. I'm like, row, row, row your boat. That's a cannon. That's the profession I'm in. Parenting.
So,
okay.
I do think that is, you know, that is sort of what was missing from
the Edge of Glory moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of those, and I think what you said about Vocal Adrenaline too, you need those wider shots to get the full picture.
But boy, oh boy, I did love that version. Like, yeah. I love that.
Oh, yeah. And I loved having all of you like come in for a line here, come in for a line there.
Diana was singing during my solo, by the way.
Well, there were a couple times too. I looked at some of the dancers and they were also just singing when just there was clearly just a solo going on. And I think it was just
a mess.
Just be better to be safe than sorry. There could be a background in there. Just very, very low.
It was, there was moments where I was like, oh, even in Paradise, I was like, yeah, no, that's not right, but it's okay. It's not right, but it's okay.
Paradise, we were learning those lyrics like on the side of the stage.
On the fly, yeah. We got those that morning. I think we were learning them in the trailer. I remember Tim coming in the makeup trailer because it was so last minute. Remember, they did that overnight.
That's right. And we didn't. I remember learning very last minute. I think maybe we had one rehearsal of Paradise by the Dashboard Light that I was in. I'm not in that number much, so there's not a lot to do.
Right.
But it was very, I'm barely hanging on to this. I don't know where I'm supposed to be, really.
Yeah. Just roll across the stage and I think you look like you were like
somebody
in
push
it.
Me and then I'll get there.
Totally. Well, there are a lot of platforms for you, so that was made it difficult.
That's true. I also think it's funny to me. So many people have said that this is one of the most memorable or one of their favorite performances in Glee. Mm. And that my only thinking for why that could be is because of what it means.
Right. Emotional connection, not
because what a weird song.
Well, it is a weird song. And then like the number itself is so like separate. And like, so there's like three people and you're running and then you're freeform rocking. And it's like, it's just chaotic is actually what it is.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was the most impactful.
No.
It's not like Somebody to Love.
No.
You know, but it's good and it's big. And it felt like New Direction's Vocal Adrenaline moment, which I also understand.
The movement of it is a little more Vocal Adrenaline.
Yes.
How do I say this? Refined in that way, where it's like a little more sterile.
Yes. It's a lot like more choreography. Like
technically good?
Like, yes, exactly.
But then you have Corey and Leah acting their faces off.
Right.
So,
right. Fair enough.
Telling the story, which is the important part of it.
And I think we deserve to win after looking at all those performances.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
I mean, Starlight Express, that was
ridiculous.
I loved it.
I mean, I'm glad they put it in.
Let's talk about something we can all relate to.
hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of her day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we win and we go back to McKinley, and we, when we shot Tongue Tied, I remember Eric not letting us see the sign.
Really?
Yeah, for some reason, I remember him trying to keep all of it a secret.
That makes sense. That sounds very Eric.
And like, I was very emotional watching it.
Yeah, it was my favorite part of the episode.
So good. I remember shooting it. I remember everything about it. And then like watching it back, I was like, oh crap, this is so good. And all the moments within it, like too, it's just so... So Glee, like the $500 bet that Finn and Puck win, and the check, and then the champagne, which I remember shooting that part, and I never wanted to be in the champagne or the paint or the whatever. I just never wanted the cleanup. I never wanted to do it. I don't like mess. And Eric told Harry, whispered to Harry, and was like, go get Jenna. Fuck you, Eric. And he got me. Yeah, you're really good. My whole hair was, my hair was all wet.
We were all soaked.
Soaked. You got soaked.
Yeah.
But it was really fun.
It was so much fun. And it just, like, Eric was so good at encouraging mess in that way. My memory of this, of course, per usual, is the recording of the song. And it was a hellish experience. Because it was so high for me. And there's this one really long note. And because I'm not properly trained, and Alex New likes to call me out on this, I don't have great breath support, and I could not do the note. And as this scene was happening, like, oh God, is it in the TV edit? And it sure was. And I just sound like,
No, you don't. I thought it sounded good.
Oh God.
I thought it sounded good.
But seeing the celebration was just so
cute. Good.
I loved it.
And also just like the whole school celebrating new directions finally.
Yes.
Like that felt like the victory was like as new directions finally being accepted and celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
Finally. That's really what got me. Like the sign the when they opened the confetti. Door, I was like, oh my God, that's it. I'm out. I'm done.
It felt really good shooting that too. Do you remember like when we did that going down the halls? And
it's really fun.
Yeah.
The kisses, they're all really cute. It was really sweet. Oh,
it really felt real in a lot of ways.
Yes, it was. It was.
It's like when you do get to the end of school year, and like your class schedule is different. And so it feels different in those halls, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it felt because it was such a different environment from how like these characters normally operate within those halls.
Right.
It just felt like that. Like you naturally wanted to celebrate. And
it also felt like a, he was like tying up loose ends kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It felt very like, oh, Eric did such a beautiful job with that. Like really just putting a pin on like in it. Yeah. It was just really good.
And it's been 3 years of these students not winning. 3 years of them getting close and just constantly being the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they finally do, it felt like the proper celebration of that. The weird thing was...
Let's talk about it. The pamphlet.
As much as I love Emma...
And
her pamphlets. I was like, why is this intercut? With the students celebrating, like their teachers getting it on.
And like, was it that important?
It felt so weird of like, you deserved it.
Was it that important?
I was just like, can we do that in a separate thing?
Agreed.
Does that need to be tied to this? I don't know why it made me so uncomfortable.
It made me uncomfortable too. I think it made a lot of people uncomfortable, but maybe not. Tell us.
Yeah. Tell us. I don't know.
Well, that brings us to Mr. Shu.
Yeah.
Mr. Shu finally getting credit where it's due. This is a poem. This is the Teacher of the Year award, which I don't know that we've ever had before either. And Sue thinks she's getting it, or she knows she's not getting it, but she's leading Mr. Shu to believe that he's not going to get it. And that she's going to get it. This is very sweet.
It's so sweet.
Mr. Shu getting Teacher of the Year. Did we shoot? I have a question for you. Did we shoot that behind the curtain at the Cal State Day?
As opposed to?
At McKinley.
I don't know.
Why? I don't think they would have done that, but
we're in the same outfits.
Yeah. We're in our competition outfits, which we all had to get to again because Leah's hair was different. Our producer had asked if she thought we shot that on the same day as our performances, but it's not because we shot our performances on location.
Yes.
And we had to get back in, but Leah's hair is very different.
Okay. Yeah.
It's much curlier.
And I don't think there's any extra time to film extra things.
No.
On this competition.
Except for that behind the curtain, which I thought maybe, but then I don't think that's right. Maybe my memory's just playing tricks on me. Anyway, makeup and hair did a really good job of continuity because we looked exactly the same, except for Leah's hair.
Are you saying Leah's hair is different behind the curtain than it is in front of the curtain?
No, just from the competition itself. Competition to teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Mr. Shu gets Teacher of the Year award. It's very cute.
You know, Leah doing her like almost
cry
gets me. It's very good.
Well, it's because she was very emotional about like the end of the show. And so I think, or the end of this part of this chapter of the show. And you could tell she was actually probably trying not to cry even more because it, as a character, you're like, we don't need her bawling.
Right.
She probably would have bawled.
Yeah.
But it gets me too. It always gets me. And Corey just not crying and being his kind of approach also is very powerful. And that's why they make such a good team. It's really sweet. I think it's sweet.
I think it's sweet. Do you remember filming this?
Yes, I do. Also very quick. Mr. Stoltz. I think we did it twice.
Yeah, it was remarkably fast.
Yes, yes.
Which makes sense. It goes along with that we did shoot things out of order. Right. I mean, we usually did. It was just what saves the most time and money.
Exactly. But I'm glad he won Teacher of the Year award. And all the looks and Sue and even the Sue, like, giving him, like, the reaction was just really sweet. Like, it's sweet.
And it was just, again, it was just nice to see everybody winning.
Yeah,
it was nice to see the good guys in our show finally get their due.
Right.
Across the board. Everybody could win together. Also, that was so nice.
Just Will, the whole episode, like, feeling like, what if we don't win? And the fear of it all, like, raising the stakes.
It felt like quintessential Glee. It really
is.
It was just joyous and funny and celebratory of these underdogs. And, like, it was a really, really great episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, and I think, I would like to hear from people, too. Like, if you're watching this, whether you're, you know, streaming it now, or you're watching it was on, like, how did it feel to finally get to this and this is what happened? And also, it wasn't the season finale. It feels like a season finale. It
certainly does. There's more.
Game of Thrones style, where the penultimate episode had the craziest stuff happening in it.
Oh my God, that episode.
Let's talk about something we can all relate to. Hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy,
Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Should we rate these performances? Okay.
Let's do
Edge
it.
Edge of Glory, Jenna.
Okay. Edge. I give it a...
I give it an A.
Okay.
A plus.
It's all coming back to me now. A plus.
Paradise?
Paradise, but I also give it an A.
Whatever that was.
A. Yeah.
Wait, I can't get past
Starship
the lyric change.
B.
Higher than any other.
Of any other.
I couldn't get
that's
past.
That's it. I think I fast forwarded it.
Because also, I don't know why, but. The music in this episode was mixed so interestingly, where the leads were so hot and the backgrounds were so low that all you hear is just higher than any other, literally higher than any other vocal or instrument. Like it was.
That's right.
But for Alex,
something.
I mean, I give the performance a B plus.
I give it
Pinball
a B.
Wizard, A minus.
Pinball Wizard, I give it a B plus.
Just because.
Okay. Tongue tied A plus
minus
plus
the
plus.
Sex.
Plus your vocals.
Oh, God.
Including your vocals. We are the champions.
It was really sweet. A minus.
A for effort and emotional. Yeah. A minus. Okay. Great.
Okay.
Let's do some tardy takes. The cringe moments. I think the teacher talking about her. Intervention episode coming out and her addiction to painkillers. I was like, wrong time, wrong place, wrong show.
I mean, right show, wrong time.
Not.
Best dance move.
Okay. I mean, Alex's split lift.
The split. Split lift was stupid. It was so good.
Best song? Tongue tied.
I'm going to go with Paradise.
Okay.
Just because it encapsulates everything.
Okay, great.
It's a weird song, but the performance, I think.
Okay. Yeah, that's a tough line we tell, like between the performance versus the song. Yeah.
Yeah.
The prop.
I mean, that big ass trophy.
Of course.
And a personal one that the popcorn.
Best lines. When. Speaking of cringe moment, Iqbal's response is go softly into that sweet night.
God, Iqbal's so good.
He is so good. One line or a couple lines and scenes in an episode and he just makes a meal out of it. It's so good. Also, Jesse saying most people don't realize I lost 10 pounds during Bohemian Rhapsody.
And I was like, yeah, justice for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Cackled.
He... Will saying, I just don't want everything we worked for to collapse because of one bad burrito is also like quintessential Glee to me. It's so silly.
It's
and accurate.
Funny.
It doesn't take much to bring us down. Performance MVP.
Oh man, this is a good one. Okay. Well, I have to say, we never give Jane MVP, but she's always just so solid that sometimes I think it gets overlooked.
Fair.
But I give her honorable mention in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's sorry,
Leah, Corey.
Yeah. I think it's a Leah and Corey.
Agreed. Okay.
They really sold this whole episode.
Totally.
And
they
also
really
MVP
did.
To Eric Stoltz because he directed a beast of an episode.
Oh, he, you know what? You're right. Just clap it out for Eric Stoltz.
And also,
excellent
behind
episode.
The scenes, another behind the scenes honorable mention to Megan Doyle for she knows what she had to do.
We'll leave it at that.
If she's listening, you really did it.
Okay.
Okay, Jenna. So,
tell me
because
what's up.
The Oscars are recently, we have two. Shit we found on TikToks this week that are related. So first up, we have our girl, Kay Glebe.
Okay.
Proving that the Glee cast collectively has EGOTs. Because, and she goes through it all, You have Darren and Jane with Emmys. You have Phineas and Groff with Grammys, and Phineas with now two Oscars. Congrats to Phineas and Billy. And truly, then we have ours truly, Jenna Ashkowitz, Alex Newell, and Ali Stroker with Tony wins. Jenna has two. And so collectively, Glee is EGOTed.
Damn, Gina, it's good.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, also like Adina, MPH, Gwyneth, Kristen, they also have
damn
awards, but for the people who were on the show more often, you know, like Glee Club members.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Like, there we go. And our next one is this by our good friends at Gleek of the Week pod. this wonderful Glee as Best Picture nominees. It goes through. It's just phenomenal. It's so good. For Barbie, it's, you know, Leah saying it tastes like pink.
Oh my gosh, so good. All the nominations are linked up with a scene or a line.
Yep.
From Glee. Perfect.
It's phenomenal work. Like, this is a movie within itself. Yes. I wish this could win an award. It's one of my favorite TikToks I've ever seen.
Oh, I love it.
It's phenomenal. The Zone of Interest one, dark.
Very good.
But, yeah, great work. I love this.
Very good.
Love this so much. It tastes like pink. Anatomy of a Fall was crazy also.
Oh my God.
But that is our shit we found on TikToks this week. You need to go look them up if you have not seen them, because they are phenomenal. Jenna, I love this episode.
Love this episode.
And next week we have Goodbye. It's graduation for most of the Glee Club. So see you next time. And that's what you really missed.
Thanks for listening, and follow us on Instagram at And That's What You Really Missed Pod. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. See you next time.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.